We're studying the book of Proverbs together. Proverbs chapters 1 to 9 is kind of the unit that we're going to be looking at for the next number of months. And last week we began the book of Proverbs with chapter 1 verses 1 to 7 on the wisdom from God that Solomon gave to his son Rehoboam and by extension, by application, to you and me as well. This is the wisdom for life, skill for living. We looked at that last week, and tonight we come to, what a needed and a relevant and such a timely portion of God's Word. I've titled our study, Guard from Violent Influences and Dangerous Companions. I am so thankful that we have young men and young women and boys and girls and teenagers in this room. I'm going to preach to all of us in the room, but I'm going to make eye contact with a lot of our young people in particular in some of our times through it. So I'm so thankful that you are here for the time of study. So let's read it together. Follow with me. I'll begin in Proverbs 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole, as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, and we shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. One more time, O Lord, we come before you just briefly asking that you would give great light into all of our hearts. As the psalmist said in Psalm 119, the unfolding of your word gives light. And we live in a culture of darkness, a culture of death. Give light by your Holy Spirit through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, this is no surprise to you. It's there on the top of your outline. But you live in a culture of death. We live in a society of violence. A couple of examples. We don't even need to give examples, but let me just give a couple. It was released in September of 2017. It just may be one of the most popular video games in the whole world in schools. It's the multiplayer online shooter game called Fortnite. With 300 million players around the world, many of the people who play are 9 and 10 years old. It's a mass online brawl where 100 players leap out of a flying bus onto a small island, and they are all to fight each other until only one person is left. They're hidden. All around the island are weapons and different items, including rifles and shotguns and pistols and traps and grenades. And players need to arm themselves while exploring the landscape and the buildings. And so as the game goes on, as the match progresses, the playable area of the land is continually shortened. It's smaller. It's reduced so that participants are closer and closer and closer together. The last survivor is the winner. Essentially, kill others and be the last one standing. Or, consider this, the leading cause of death in 2019 was the murderous killing of the unborn children in abortion. 42.5 million children were slaughtered in this culture of death. All the deaths of cancer and smoking and alcohol and traffic accidents and malaria, HIV, AIDS. You gather all of those together and then combine it and multiply it by two. And abortion has exceeded that by far with 42.5 million kills. That's 117,000 lives killed every day. That's 5,000 lost every hour. That's 81 lives killed every minute. That's one baby killed every second. Kids in school, on average, spend about 8 hours a day in entertainment media. Movies, show, music, internet, video games, social media, and so on. Because this is the case, the average American young person, by the time he is 18 years old, will have watched 200,000 violent acts on TV. 91% of movies contain violence, and some of them contain extreme violence. 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 In Genesis chapter 6, the word violence occurs two times for one of the reasons that God is going to bring a worldwide flood, because of the violence on the earth. Let us not forget Psalm 11 verse 5, the one who loves violence, listen carefully, God's soul hates. Proverbs 16:29, the violent man is led in a way that is not good. Even I was reflecting on Psalm 54. In Psalm 54, David is writing, and he says in verse 3, that violent men have sought my life because they have not set God before them. Now that's the problem, but also the solution. The problem is that David said, there are violent men and they want to kill me. And they've not set God before them. In other words, set God before you. Follow God. Follow His ways. The key for the life of the child of God, for the believer, is to set God before us and to not veer to the left and not to veer to the right. Well, we come tonight to Proverbs chapter 1, and you know verses 1 to 7 last week that we looked at in chapter 1. It's the introduction to the book of Proverbs, and it's about wisdom and learning wisdom and discernment. And chapter 1 verse 8 is really sort of the fatherly counsel to his son that begins. The door opens and the counsel from the father to his teenage boy begins. What would a father say first to his son? You know, save up your money. Be a hard worker. Get a good job. Go to a good school. You know, be all that you can be. Dad didn't say any of that. The very first thing on the father's mind right here in chapter 1 is your friends, guard from violence, guard from bad influences, guard from being greedy, and having selfish gain. And what blew me away yesterday as I was meditating on this, you know the two great commandments, love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's Proverbs 1. Last week in chapter 1, 1 to 7, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's loving God, to fear God, loving God. Now, beginning in verse 8, it's love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God and loving your neighbor. This is the sum of the law right here. And the father is saying to his son, this is important, this is important, this is important. And we know it because if you look with me in verse 8, the father says, hear, my son. And then look again at verse 10, my son. And then look again at verse 15, my son. Listen up. Do not consent. Do not walk. These verses are full of passion. They're full of urgency, full of love, full of emotion, full of warmth, and even intensity, we might say. as well. Well, here is the father's caution to his son. You have it there on your outline, in that little black box right in the middle of the page. My son, refuse violent companions because it'll kill you. That's kind of a bold. Somebody might say that's kind of harsh. Somebody might say everybody's doing it. But Proverbs 1 will say, if you live this way, it will kill you. It will kill you. So what I want to do tonight is I want to walk through God's word the way that God lays it out for us in chapter 1, verses 8 to 19. We want to look at these three headings as the father gives his caution, his counsel, his love to his son. And for all of us as men and women living in this violent culture, we need to hear this. Boys and girls in this room, teenagers, young people, those in school, those that are homeschooled, whether you're school age, elementary, junior high, high school, you need to hear this tonight. You need to hear this. You need to hear it. So, three headings. Let's just begin in verses 8 and 9 with the first heading, and it's this: desire good counsel. Desire good counsel. Maybe you might say it's the father saying, listen up. Do listen up. I want you to take in the word. Look at verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. What a great verse. It's one of my favorite in the opening portion of Proverbs because it teaches that a dad and a mom are a discipling team in raising their children. And you might even say by application, a grandma and a grandpa. There's a team, but in particular, the father and the mother, they have the team responsibility to be actively teaching, to be faithfully exhorting, to be diligently evangelizing, and patiently shepherding the children. It doesn't come naturally. We don't sort of glide in neutral to teach. A father and mother must intentionally counsel and disciple the children. And in your outline there, you have a number of ways that we can learn how the father did this. I don't want to get lost in it, but just briefly, number one, see how communicative the father is with his son. He doesn't hide the reality. He doesn't hide it. But he communicates clearly and openly. Number two, see how specific and intentional the father is with his son. He doesn't shy away from speaking the hard truth. Number three, see how the father gives warnings with the sins to avoid. And then he gives encouragements with, here's what you need to do. Here's how you can run away. He's unafraid to warn. He's unafraid to admonish. He's unafraid to command his son. We live in a day where many don't want to command their children, but the father here in Proverbs does. Number four, see how the father lovingly warns of the disastrous consequences and life-destroying results. And just as a reminder for all of us here, as we look at this section, sin always hurts. It always hurts. There's never anything good about sin. Boys and girls, young people, there is never anything good about sin. It might tempt you and lie to you, telling you that it's good for a moment, but there's nothing good in sin at all, ever. Verse 8 is the father saying, son, I want you to listen to my teaching and to your mother's instruction as well. Why? Verse 9, for the teachings are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. It'll help you to live a life that's pleasing, attractive, beautiful. If you obey and submit to the teaching of your parents, it's like you're wearing the godly teaching like a necklace to guard you, to guide you, to protect you. People will see that you're respectable, honorable, different, distinct. It's a wonderful, wonderful admonition in these opening verses. Desire good counsel. May that be true of all of us. Really, by application, for all of us. Receive the Father's instruction. Hear the word of God. Listen to this good counsel. But how much more for the young boys and the young girls in this room where you've got dads and moms that teach you? You've got families and grandparents that teach you, they instruct you, they lead you in family worship, they bring you to the worship of God, the church, the catechism, the prayer meeting to come alongside of what they're doing in the home. You're being taught good truth. Receive it. Receive it. Hear it. Heed it. Don't be prideful and reject it. Well, that leads to number two in our outline. The Father first says, I want you to hear my teaching, but now in your outline, number two, you need to discern violent influences. You need to discern violent influences. In other words, don't consent. Think about what's going on. Think about it. Verses 10 to 14 is the Father who's going to have a dialogue with his son. And he's going to portray this in a picturesque, a very blunt, a very colorful dialogue between his son and some really bad friends. Now, maybe you might say, well, I don't have any friends like this. You will one day. They're all over the movies. They're all over social media. Turn on the radio, it's all over the hit music. It's all over Netflix. It's all over the place. Look at what we read here in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you. Now, stop on the word entice. The Hebrew word for entice means they're trying to deceive, persuade. They're trying to talk you into doing something. Here's the modern word. Peer pressure. They're trying to pressure you into doing something. They're trying to tell you to do something. They're trying to deceive you, to persuade you, to entice you to do something. And the Father says in verse 10, do not consent. Maybe more literally, don't be willing to do it. It's the inclination of the will. Don't yield to anyone except God. It's like a dad says, I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what the movies say. I don't care what the video games do. I don't care what you see on social media. I don't care what you see at school or in society or in culture. I don't care. Don't yield to anyone except God. Don't give in. Now, verses 11 and following is the dialogue. The Father is going to kind of paint this very colorful dialogue. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole like those who go down to the pit. Let us join the party. What do the wicked say? Look again at verse 11. Come with us. Let's lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive. We will find money. Verse 13. We will fill our houses with stuff. Throw in your lot with us. We're going to have a bunch of cash. We're going to have a big purse. We're going to make more together than you ever could on your own. Now, This is so helpful for me to see the contrast. The motivation that is driving these sinful companions on is one word: greed. Now notice the contrast here. Sinners, don't miss it. They love wealth and they will use people to get more wealth. Don't miss that. But the Christian loves people and he will use his wealth to serve other people. Do you see the contrast there? One is a heart of greed, one is a heart of service. One is a heart that is motivated by love of self. One is a heart that is motivated out of a love for God. We love our money and we're going to do anything to anyone to get what we want. And everything is flowing out of this heart, this lust, this craving. We want wealth. We want money. We want more, more, more. And what the Father says is very colorful. I don't know if I can even bring it out. Verse 11, let us lie in wait for blood. The Hebrew word for blood means a violent, gruesome murder. I mean, he's not holding any punches talking to his son. These guys are out for the bloody kill. Verse 12, let's swallow them alive. Who's the them? It's the innocent. They've not done anything against you. They've not hurt you in any way. Why? So that 13, we can get all kinds. Now I have of precious wealth, expensive goods. That's the idea. We can get more expensive stuff. We can get more. We can get better. It's greed. It's money. It's covetousness. People are hurrying toward trouble. They're rushing toward their own ruin. People are striving toward their own suffering. It's like people are determined for their own destruction. How desperately we need to hear this, don't we, in our day? Man. You know, in the city and in the county, in the urban and in the rural areas, those with broken homes and those with a dad and a mom in the home, those that have many siblings or those that might not have any, but they are tempted to make close companions with worldly bad influences. The young, the old, the men, the women, boys and girls, listen up. Those with iPhones, those with video games, those who watch movies, those who engage with social media, those who have friends who like to pressure you and seduce you, and they'll push you to do things. Listen to God's wisdom. Listen to God's wisdom. Because the root of everything in verses 11 to 14 is one word. We might say it's internal heart pride of greed. Greed. Envy, jealousy, covetousness, selfish ambition, which we learn from the Bible, all of that comes out of the heart. James chapter 4 and verse 2 says, you lust, you desire, and you don't have something, so you commit murder. Well, that's exactly what Proverbs is describing. I want something so bad, and if you're confused, come out to the abortion mill this Saturday and you'll see it. People want their comfortable life. They don't want the inconvenience of a child. And what do? They kill an innocent person because of their own greedy, selfish ambitions. This is where we live. This is everywhere. So this is so important for us. And as we think about it, we can't really shelter ourselves. It's just everywhere in our culture. Movies and Netflix and music and social media and YouTube and friends and video games. It just bombards us in this culture of violence. I like the way Richard Mayhew counseled us. He said, acquiring wisdom and not wealth should be our passion. And this is a very simple line for all of us and for the young people here tonight. Get God's wisdom far more than you pursue the things of this world. At all costs, get God's wisdom. So that's the warning there in our outline. Number two, discern the violent influences. But the Father's not done. The Father's not done. He says, you know what? That's dangerous. They're going to seduce you. They're going to come after you. They're going to tempt you. They're going to come and pressure you. So now number three in your outline, you need to disassociate with vigilance. Do not walk with them. Turn away from them. The simple point, sin breeds harm. It's Galatians 6, whatever a man sows, that he will reap. So, look at verse 15. My son, I've just painted the picture of your friends trying to seduce you and they're trying to tempt you. Okay, verse 15. My son, don't walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. The father is making a word play. If you see in verse 11, the sinful friends are saying, come with us. It's the Hebrew word for walk. Walk. Come walk with us. Now in verse 15, the father's saying, no, don't walk in the way with them. They're trying to woo you on their path. Stay far away. You've got to choose between truth and error, light and darkness, righteousness and sin, good and evil, God's ways or man's ways. You've got to choose. That's the command. Don't walk in their ways. Keep your feet far from the path. It's not trying to tiptoe the line saying, well, how close can I get before I fall into sin? The Father says, keep your feet far. Far. Well, look at the caution. Verse 16. Interesting. Their feet run to evil. They are quick. They hasten to shed blood. I found it interesting in my study. Evidently, this is a pretty well-known verse. Because Isaiah chapter 59, verse 7, Isaiah is going to quote this verse and talk about how feet that are swift to shed blood. Paul, in Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, not even one. There's none who do good, not even one. There's none who seek after God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. Their throats are an open grave. And then he continues and he says, they are swift to shed blood. Right here, it's a quote from this verse. What is Solomon? What is Isaiah? What is Paul doing? They're showing the lostness of mankind. Be warned, this is life apart from God. Apart from God. This is quoted in Romans 3 to show that all mankind is depraved and in need of a Savior. And there are two elements here that just grip my heart. Number one is the rush. Number two is the result. They rush. Now, all of us, we need to listen up, but young people, boys and girls, children, listen. When you're tempted, when there's somebody that gives you a temptation, when they're trying to pressure you and they're trying to tell you to do something, and you think to yourself, I don't think that's right, you need to ask yourself in biblical wisdom, what's the big rush? What's the big rush? What will a moment of reflection or a day of counsel, what will that reveal that my friends don't want me to see? Why do they want me to go with them now rather than seeking the advice of other people and getting good wisdom? What should I do? What do I not know about in this situation? What are my friends hiding from me? These are good questions to ask. Two questions that I have mentioned to my children and I think about often. Number one, will this glorify God? And number two, what does the Bible say about it? Is this going to glorify God? And what does the Bible say? As a simple way of kind of reflecting on every decision that comes my way, every temptation, every opportunity. They are rushing to do evil. They are rushing to do evil. And then verse 17, notice the father's wisdom here. I mean, this is just brilliant. Even the young boys and the young girls, you understand this. Verse 17, it is useless to to spread the net in the sight of a bird. You can try to trap a bird, but if you put the net out right in front of a bird, guess what? It's probably not going to fly into your net. And what's the Father saying? Well, if a bird has that much wisdom, how much more must you, my son, have the wisdom? They're laying the net to trap you. Don't run willfully into their net. Verse 18 and 19 shows the condemnation. Why? Young people say, why? Why, Dad? Why, Mom? Why are you telling me to do this? The dad says, because these people are lying in wait for their own blood. They may tell you that they may hurt others and they may get their own gain. They may prosper. They may succeed. No one will see it. Nobody has to know. It won't hurt anybody else. But here's what God says. They are destroying their own lives. They're ambushing their own lives. Interesting. The Father uses the same verbs that the sinners used back in verse 11. Let us lie in wait for their blood and ambush them. Same verbs. What a harsh irony, isn't it, to sin? The one who pursues evil will bring about his own death. In the work of his own hands, the wicked is snared. Job said, those who sow trouble will harvest it. Or Proverbs, the one who digs a pit is going to fall into it. So the point is, they think that they're going to get out okay, but in reality, they're destroying themselves. And then verse 19, in the amazing wisdom of God, lest there be anybody here, one of us, that could say, you know, I've never wanted to kill somebody innocently. I've never done that. I've never carried it out. I've never been there. Look at verse 19. So are the ways. What a fascinating word. The word ways refers to the thoughts and motives. Sure, there might be few people that have carried out the murderous action. But how many multitudes are there of us that at times have a greedy nature? At times we can have a covetous heart and we can go down these ways of thinking. And the Father says, these are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. What wisdom. What wisdom. What needed, relevant. And this is written 3,000 years ago. I mean, this could have been written this morning. But before we end, the problem is not fundamentally the violent video games out there, right? We have to be clear on that. The problem fundamentally is not the violent movies out there. The problem fundamentally is not the violent media or the violent music that's out there. The problem is our hearts. So the root of the problem is not external to us. The root of the problem is within us. It's internal. So that's why the answer is not being a recluse. It's not being isolated from the world like a hermit. That's not the ultimate solution because I still have a corrupt heart. So here's what we shouldn't do in the text, but now in your outline, here are five practical things that we should do. And just for all of us, I think this is a good way to kind of draw this to a close. Here's what we ought to do. Number one, get biblical instruction. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who meditates on the law of God, right? It's his delight day and night. Number two, practice biblical discernment. We want to be thoughtful and have a biblical worldview. Number three, consider Jesus' presence. Men and women, we know this, but boys and girls, be reminded as well, God is with you all the time and He is watching. God is always watching. You cannot hide from God. You'll never hide from God. You can be in an inner room and never hide from God. Number four, meditate on hell's severity. You know, why do I say that? Because Paul used this section in Romans 3 to bring out the depravity of man, the condemnation of man. But guess what? Number five, Christ is more precious. You see, to behold the greatness of God and to know the glory of Jesus and to enjoy and know the preciousness of Christ, that makes sin unappealing. Unappealing in the moment. And I love how God's ways are so different than man's ways. Young people hear this. You see all around you in your society with the video games, fingers on triggers all the time. But listen, God's finger is not on the trigger yet. God is not lying in wait for your blood yet. No, of course not. God gave His own blood at the cross. That's what's so different. The worldlings right here, they want to shed the blood of other people for their own gain. But God's ways are so different. He gave His own blood at the cross so that you, the guilty one, might have life in this great Savior. Maybe, just as we close, maybe there's someone here that you've been there. You've done that. You've had this heart. You've lived this way. You've practiced these things. Remember, Paul was a violent aggressor in 1 Timothy 1. Remember the Gerasene demoniac was so violent that people couldn't even pass by that way. But he was changed and converted. We can put off the evil desires and we can put on godliness. It's possible to do it. Matthew 5, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. So maybe a good way for us to end is just to behold the urgency of the Father's counsel to the child, to the son, to the teen. But then, you know what? Rather than being satisfied in the things of this world, maybe your prayer and my prayer can be Psalm 90, verse 14, when Moses said, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness. And if you are really satisfied with God's loving kindness, you're not going to want the things of the world. May that be our prayer with Moses, huh? Amen. Father, write your word upon our heart. Help us, O Lord, as we pray now, as we call upon your name, as we give thanks to you. O Lord, would you teach us? Would you meet with us? God, would you unite us together? Would you edify us as we call upon you in prayer in response to what we have heard in your word? In Jesus' name, amen.